It is 4:17, time for Sarah's Wiki Corner, brought to you by Top to Bottom for your emergency roof repair. Like today, when it's drizzling and all damp and you're seeing damage on the inside, moisture on your drywall, wet ceiling, that kind of stuff, make your first call to Top to Bottom. They specialize in emergency repairs and are backed by the knowledge and expertise to fix any roof issue they encounter. Call John at Top to Bottom for an expert evaluation, 338-9865. That's 338-9865 for John at Top to Bottom. What are we learning about today on your Wiki Corner? Theme week is odd jobs that don't exist anymore.
Yeah, so today's odd job that doesn't exist anymore is the ice cutter.
The ice cutter.
Yes. Now, this is something that I think we really take for granted these days is you can just open your freezer, get out your ice cube tray.
There it is.
You got a nice cold beverage or use your ice maker.
Yeah.
You have one.
Yeah.
But, you know, back in the day, that ice had to come from
somewhere
else. Yeah. Specifically, lakes and rivers.
There
right?
You go.
It had to be natural, right?
Yeah.
Ice cutting was a winter task, as you can imagine.
The best time to do it.
Of collecting surface ice from lakes and rivers for storage in ice houses and use or sale as a cooling method. Mm. Rare today, obviously. It was common before the era of widespread mechanical refrigeration and air conditioning technology. People did collect and store ice during the wintertime in ancient Greece, Rome, Persia, and China, then use it during the warmer months. But the ice cutting industry really ramped up in the early 19th and early 20th centuries until mechanical refrigeration displaced it.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the 1880s, New York City had over 1,500 ice delivery wagons. And Americans consumed over 5 million tons of ice annually.
Wow.
So ice harvesting generally involved waiting until approximately a foot of ice had built up on the water surface in the winter. So, like, this winter, I guess you just wouldn't have any ice this summer.
Nothing.
Because there would be no ice to harvest.
It'd be an ice famine in the summertime. An ice famine.
Yeah. So the ice would then be cut with either a handsaw or a powered saw blade into long continuous strips, then cut into big individual blocks for transport by wagon back to the ice house. Mm. The tools of the ice cutters were wires, hooks, tongs, and ice picks. Being an ice man was arduous.
Yeah,
they usually began their day around 4 a.m. and finished late in the evening, depending on both the season and the day of the week. Mm. So the ice needed to be at least 18 inches thick to be harvested, as it needed to support the weight of the workers and the horses with the wagons and be suitable for cutting into large blocks.
Yeah.
In New England, ponds and rivers typically had deep enough ice to harvest between January and March, and with a good thickness of ice, around 1,000 tons could be harvested from an acre of surface water.
1,000 tons from an
So the ice cutting involved several stages and was typically carried out at night when the ice was the thickest. First, the surface would be cleaned of snow with scrapers, the depth of the ice tested for suitability. Then the surface would be marked out with cutters to produce the lines of the future ice blocks. And the size of the blocks varied according to the destination it was traveling to.
Oh.
The largest blocks were for the farthest location.
Oh, sure, right. You're going to lose some on the way.
That's right. And the smallest were destined for the American East Coast, usually. And ice had to be stored at multiple points between harvesting and its final use by a customer. One method for doing this was the construction of ice houses to hold the product, typically either shortly after the ice was first harvested or at regional depots after it had been shipped out. Early ice houses were relatively small, but later storage facilities were the size of large warehouses to contain much larger quantities.
How do they keep it cold inside the ice house?
Insulation.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Insulation. So the ice trade revolutionized the U.S.
You're making that up.
The ice trade revolutionized. The U.S. meat, vegetable, and fruit industries.
Yeah.
Enabled significant growth in the fishing industry and encouraged the introduction of a range of new drinks and foods. Oh. Iced drinks were at one time a novelty.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've caught
and
on. Though.
Were initially viewed with concern by customers worried about the health risks.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Although this rapidly vanished in the U.S. Probably as the summer got hotter and hotter, they were like, there can't be anything wrong with this nice cold beverage. There just can't be.
I'll take the risk.
Yeah. So the large-scale production of ice cream also resulted from the ice trade.
Yeah.
Ice cream had been produced in small quantities since at least the 17th century, but this depended both on having large quantities of ice available, of course, and substantial amounts of labor to manufacture it. So combined with the growing ice trade, ice cream became much more widely available and consumed in greater quantities.
As it should be.
That's right. At its peak at the end of the 19th century, the U.S. ice trade employed an estimated 90,000 people, and it made around $28 million using ice houses capable of storing up to 250,000 tons of ice each.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Today, ice is occasionally still harvested for ice carving and ice festivals, but little remains of the 19th century industrial network of the ice houses and transport.
You ever watch somebody carve the ice like
those
big
really
things?
Impressive.
Isn't it though with chainsaws and the
chisels?
Chisels, that's the word. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It is.
It's a real art. You picked out a record to go along with the Ice Cutters, did you?
Yeah, so we're gonna play Cold as Ice by Foreigner.
We'll do it. Sarah, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Legends 102.7, the biggest hits in the history of the world. Foreigner and Cold as Ice. Sarah, do you remind us, why did we just play that record?
Because we were talking about ice cutters as part of our theme week on odd jobs that don't exist anymore.
There we go. Let's recap three things we must take away from today's Wiki Corner. Are you ready?
Ready.
Go.
Okay, ice cutters could harvest around 1,000 tons of ice from an acre of surface water.
At its peak, the U.S. The U.S. ice trade employed 90,000 people.
And ice cream became much more widely available thanks to the ice trade.
There it is,
sir. People who hand cut all that ice.
That's amazing.
You know, that seems like something they would charge a lot of money for. Like, you could go to a restaurant and they'd be like, hand cut artisanal ice from Lake Ontario. And people would probably pay a lot of money to have that
in
their beverage, right?
But yeah, they would from Yeah.
From where?
Lake Superior. That's a really clean, cold, ice cold lake.
Oh, okay.
Lake Superior.
Artisanal.
Artisanal.
Ice.
You're right. So back in the day, you know, having ice in your drink, I wonder how much that added to the bill. You're fancy, you're clinking your ice. You would definitely chew your ice when you were done.
Yeah, for sure.
You paid for it.
Yeah.
You paid for it. Folks want to learn more about ice cutters, Sarah. Where do they go? What do they do?
You can go to my wiki blog. If you go to legends1027.com on the homepage, there is a link that takes you to my blog where I post everything I talk about every day.
Odd jobs that don't exist anymore. Yesterday, the barber surgeon.
Mm-hmm.
And today, the ice cutter. Three more installments this week, and we look forward to number three tomorrow.
Me too.
At 4:10. Thank you, Sarah.
You're welcome.
Ed Smith along with traffic in just a few minutes. The forecast with meteorologist Josh Nichols and more of your favorites on Legends 102.7.